الصلاة والسلام على سيد الخلق وعز المرسلين أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين وعلى جميع أنبياء الله والمرسلين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. My dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Sallallahu alayka ya Abdullah. Sallallahu alayka ya Abu Rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Allah ya Mawlai, tatayyaba bika al-turab, wa a'zama bika al-musab, wa ajdala bika al-thawab, wa awdaha bika al-kitab, wa ja'alaka wa ummuka wa akhak. جدك وأباك والمعصومين من بنيك عبرة لأولي الألباب يا ابن الميامين الأطياب التالين الكتاب وجهت سلامي إليكم ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني للسلام عليكم ولزيارتكم. الفاتحة إلى أخواتنا جميعا.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
Can I remind you about something? You have said 3 points about Rasulullah and mentioned only one.
I have received a special request from some of the brothers repeatedly, and I will honor this request. I will ask my beloved sisters, since they are in a holy place, to observe al-hijab for Allah's sake and for the love of Ahlul Bayt. And also I will ask the brothers who are outside to participate in al-majlis at least by attending any of the session. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala
Muhammad.
We will give the first session 10 or 15 minutes for interaction in the form of question and answer. Any of the sisters or the brothers have any particular question about the subjects that we spoke in particular or any other question in general, I'd be more than happy to share with you. I would like you for the conductor to time the event, please. Anyone have a question?
Why, Dr. Ziyarat al-Ashura, we curse Ibn Marjana. Who is Ibn Marjana?
The question from the brother is concerning a character that we curse in Ziyarat al-Ashura, Ibn Marjana. We say, وَلَعَنَ اللَّهُ إِبْنُ مَرْجَانَ وَلَعَنَ اللَّهُ إِبْنُ مَرْجَانَ. The answer to that question in particular, historically, they are different answers. Some refers to Muawiyah, and some refers to another character. The name, my memory deceived me, I can't give you the name. But it is well known that prior to the Islam in Al-Jahiliya, marriage was not respected. So they gave the man this name because they did not know his father. Like we hear some stories, Muawiyah adopted a brother for him, although that was not part of the family, because his father committed a zina with another woman and he had him. I prefer the subjects to be the question concerning the answer. I prefer the questions concerning the subjects, if you can. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala
Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Anybody have a question, any of the sisters? MashaAllah.
Mom, yesterday you mentioned that there were three characteristics of children, and you mentioned one of them in the when you addressed us, there were two missing.
Okay, I'm going to answer that question. It was in my part of my lecture, but since you are eager to know the answer, I'll give you. الرسول صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
الرسول صلى الله عليه وآله says, learn from the children three habits. First one, consistency in nagging. We explained it. It means that when you need to make a dua, be persistent in your dua for Allah, and Allah loves them. The second one, learn from the children forgiveness, because the children, somehow they attack each other, they had their own difference, they have a problem, one child hit the other, he cries, he went to his mother running, he hit me, and then a few minutes later you see them playing again as if nothing happened. They don't even go to the court. They don't even fill a police report. They don't complain. They don't raise their hands to the sky, oh God, don't forgive him ever. They forgive each other. Tahsil and hasil, they don't argue. The third feature we need to learn from the children, the child, sometimes he acts that he's above time and place. Wherever he is, he sits. He sits on the ground. If he's tired, he sits on the ground. On the soil. On the sand. On the dirt. If that tells us anything, it means the child has no arrogance. And he is humble. Because he immediately sits on the floor. You don't find that many people who does this. Any other question, please? Any of the sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you if you ask, and will reward the listeners if they listen. If you have any questions, don't feel shy. Ask. If I know the answer, I'll let you know. If I don't know, I will seek the knowledge, me and you together. Anyone?
Brother, you mentioned a couple of nights ago that you should encourage the sisters to study and get knowledge. So did you have a particular idea of knowledge when you said that? It's just a religious knowledge or academic knowledge? What is the emphasis or priority on that?
The brother is asking to clarify the situation when I talked about women need to seek knowledge. What kind of knowledge women need to seek for the brothers. And what I meant to say, brother, is first of all, Al-Ayah says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Iqra' bismi Rabbika. Learn in the name of your Lord. Learn in the name of Allah. So any knowledge we are seeking, it has to be for a higher purpose. To educate ourselves for the sake of Allah.
That's it.
The most important education you need to get is to know Allah first. Because the first step of being religious, the first step towards Islam is to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To know His qualities. To know His attributes, to know His sifat. أول الدين معرفته. And then to know الأحكام, الحلال and الحرام, and to know العقائد, النبوة, الإمامة, المعاد, prophethood, الإمامة, just, Allah is just, and the resurrection day, and the general concept. And also to know the knowledge of the academic education. Because it so happened, it is very important that a mu'min and a mu'mina persuade the academic education, because it serves the purpose of Islam, it serves the purpose of the deen, it makes the believer a better person. Especially these educations that we see will make us know Allah better. If you ask a doctor about his iman, he has seen the signs of Allah through studying the education of medicine. And if you ask the person who is studying chemistry, he would see al-ma'ajiz in the laws of chemistry that Allah put forth in the universe. And if you observe the motions of the planets and the stars, you would be amazed how much your iman will increase. Because all these signs that Allah shows, the people will lead them to know Him better. سَنُوِيهِمْ آيَاتُنَا وَالْآيَاتُنَا فِي الْآفَاقِ وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُ الْحَقِّ. We shall make them observe our ayat, our sign, in the horizon, in the universe, and within themselves. Hardly you meet any good scientist who tells you, I don't believe in God. He cannot say it. And you hear the statement of Newton, you hear the statement of Einstein, you hear the statement of Edison, you hear the statement of these big scientists. They were good believers. They were not religious people, but they were good believers. They believed that this world has a creator. Okay, bismillah. My dear beloved brother is asking me if I can focus and shed the light on an historical event that took place after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi passed away. And it was during the Khilafah of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. He wants me to discuss the battle of Al-Jamal and its circumstances. Inshallah, maybe at the end we'll talk briefly about it. Usually we address the issues related to the occasion. And since this occasion is about Karbala and Ashura, we will talk about, you know, we cannot cover every important subject in this supposedly 55 minutes that I have. But inshallah, we will discuss it briefly. I want a question from the sisters. Any questions? They're all knowledgeable, inshallah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
Can we start?
Bismillah.
Our
55 minutes from now, right? Okay.
55 minutes. Thank you for putting two watches on the wall. And I also saw a couple of brothers where they brought watches too, so they have to bring it back. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitan ar-rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Ali Muhammad, we were talking yesterday about the position of women in Islam, and we covered most of the subject, but there's few left we need to cover. And briefly we said that Islam came with a revolution, social revolution, religious revolution, that literally liberated women from Asr al-Jahiliyyah. And we said also that Islam gave the woman the right to own and inherit and vote and also voice her opinion. The legacy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Indicate clearly that he never refused an interview with a woman. There were a lot of times where history tells us the women believers would go and meet with him. And he sometimes intentionally received the woman in front of everyone because the question she has, everyone would benefit from the answer. And we also understand that the role of a woman in Islam improved tremendously. When we see the role that Khadija alayhi salam played, we said that Khadija was commercially capable, and she was a strong woman, and she was a respected woman in Quraysh. She met Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi through some good reference, and she employed him. The wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi employed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. So if you feel your woman has some talent in trade, or in business, or in management, and she is a good woman, she is a good believer, never deny her at least to participate in her professional opinion in a way that could serve you. And if some of the sisters that inherit a good business and they run it, do not feel ashamed to marry your boss. Because at one time in business, the boss of Muhammad was his wife. However, this boss of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became the beloved and the most compassionate human and female towards her employees, and elevated his status to respect him and to love him as her leader. When he declared his prophethood, Ar-Rasul became the Ba'ath, and Khadija became the employee. With pride, with will, with passion, Khadija will be given the credit, unlike to a lot of myths that we hear, is she was the first person to believe in Islam. The first Muslim. The first person to support Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi was Khadija.
Among ladies,
I mean, as a lady, as a person, yeah, among ladies, among people, among men and women. Some of the brothers argue and tell me who's the first man. Unanimously, we know it's Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. And they want to argue in vain, oh, he was not a man, he was a young child, so you can't consider him a man. Al-Imam was an imam, was born as an imam, and he never prostrated to an idol. He never known to commit a sin ever. He was well guided. So Khadija alayhi salam, she gave her husband, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, the emotional support, the feminine support, all kind of support, the financial backing. And she put all her wealth for the sake of Allah and the sake of His Messenger. Khadija never doubted Rasulullah, not even a bit. Because she has a clean heart, because she had an excellent character, because she believed in the conduct of her husband. She was the first believer in him. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi reciprocated by loving her. He loved her as a mu'mina, and he loved her as a wife. And if you read in the books that Aisha Ummul Mu'mineen was one of his best wives, with due respect, that's not the case. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi among all the Muslims unanimously says that the best wife he has was Khadija bint Khuwaylid. To the point where he always said, after she passed away, any time somebody mentioned Khadija, you see a Rasul naturally cries, missing. Any time somebody talks about his wife, a Rasul remembers Khadija and he cries. Because he loved her. Because he appreciated the sacrifice that she gave to him. And he said his famous statement, if it was not for the money of Khadija and for the sword of Ali, Islam would not have spread. That's his famous statement. For the money of Khadija. Because when our beloved Prophet started spreading Islam, they fought him back with all sort of unjust behavior. Muslims were persecuted, killed, tortured. Their property were taken. Their houses were burned. They had to emigrate. They had to live in Shi'ab Makkah in the desert area for 3 years without any economic support. Hunger was prevailing. All this time, Khadija was spending her wealth on al-Islam and on al-Muslim. Without any hesitation, without any regret. Some people, when Allah gives them money, man or woman, they forget about the situation they were in. When people are poor and they have a sense of iman, they turn to Allah and they pray for Allah to make them rich. And they pray consistently, persistently. And when Allah answers their prayer, and Allah gives them the sustenance, and increase their rizq, and make them powerful economically, most people tend to forget about it. Most people tend to turn their back on Allah. And we have a story in Al-Quran where Allah denounced one of those people. He denounced him until Yawmul Qiyamah because of his neglect to his promise to Allah. Al-Ayah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, وَاصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْحَشِيِّ يُرِدُونَ وَجْهَهُ. Ya Muhammad, be patient with those humble one, al-mustadhafun, those who accepted al-risala without any hassle. There were no wealth for them to give up. They were not leaders of the tribe. They had nothing to lose in positions. They were mistreated. They were slaves. They were misused. And Islam came and liberated their souls, equated them with the rest of the population. They loved Allah with passion, they stuck to His dhikr, and they gathered around al-Rasul, watching every word he said and every motion he made. And al-Rasul wanted in his own human nature to spread Islam by talking to the chief of the tribe. His thought was, if I am to convince the leader of the tribe to accept Islam, most likely the whole tribe will accept Islam. Where he comes, Allah's instruction that they killed the people who were working there, and they have tortured Al-Wali, and they have committed some heinous crime. And Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam tried to converse with them, and he sent them Abdullah ibn Abbas, and he sent them good articulate people in order to persuade them to commit to a tawbah and to come back from this unacceptable act. And he showed them that this is the maqsiyah when they want to revolt against the Khalifa, and this is a fasad, and this is a haram, and they refused. And the tribes of Arabia, when they knew that Umm al-Mu'mineen Aisha was leading the battle, riding the camel, they also gathered in great numbers in order to fight the Imam, and the battle took place. And Al-Imam won, and Al-Jamal was broken, and Aisha was captured and released with great deal of respect by Imam Ali, and she was sent back to Al-Madinah with her brother Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr.
Do not be and follow those who their heart and their mind are away.
Rasulullah talked about this before he passed away. He promised the Imam and he told him, you will fight three group of people, when they came, when passed the
team, situation,
and he warned Umm al-Mu'mineen Aisha particularly about this event.
Not solid.
Sahah al-Sitta.
One of them was,
but this event,
Fa'la ibn Hatib al-Ansari, as the story says.
We need to address the issue that we are facing us today. We need to learn from history that being close to Rasulullah by race,
be like me.
If you are not a mu'min, it does not mean.
أما فرض أن تكون مثلي
إن الجنة لا.
I am eating the same food that you are eating. I am sitting with you. I pray and I see you behind me. I see you. I take care of you. And he says, I accept.
Ta'alaba goes at night and he says, Sayyid,
why can't I be rich?
A slave and he was liberated.
Why don't Rasulullah ask Allah to make me rich? I will still be a mu'min. He came the next day and said, Ya Rasulullah, make dua for me. I want to be rich. And Rasul looks at him and he says, Waihuka ya ta'laba, woe to you. Yesterday was the answer different from today. He says to him, if you thank Allah for the little that you have, is much better than not handling the consequences of the lots of things that Allah will give you. This is a wise answer. Think about this answer. To thank Allah for the little things that we get is much better, by far much better, than not being able to handle the consequences of being rich. Because when Allah make al-mu'min rich, his responsibility will become bigger and deeper. No? Is it true or not?
Yes.
Ta'alaba goes to Rasulullah. Well, don't worry, Ya Rasulullah. Just into your mission, just to ask Allah. Your dua is mustajab. Just ask Allah to make me rich.
The third day after Ta'alaba insisting time after time, he goes, Ya Allah, and he raises his hand to the sky, Ya Allah. He makes this, you know, Rasulullah's dua, not like any other dua. Even dua expressed by Rasulullah is a good one. Urzuq ta'laba manan, give ta'laba manan. Soon enough, took his share from Baytul Mal, some livestock. And then it multiplied. And multiplied until the livestock cannot be held in Al-Madinah. He had to move all his livestock outside Al-Madinah. Rasulullah in the morning will look behind him. He doesn't see Ta'laba. Where is Ta'laba? Oh, shagalathu amwaluhu. He is very busy with his business. And Rasulullah will say, Ya waiha Ta'laba. Woo to Ta'laba. You know what the Thalaba means? Yawaha Thalaba means, in the simple expression, oh, I can't believe what is he doing. Shame on him. That's what it means. And then the livestock that he has multiplied
tripled, quadrupled to the point where Ahlul Medina become so tight with his property, he has to go outside and far away from Al-Medina. In the past, he used to eat with Al-Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi. Wake up and see the first person Al-Rasul. Have lunch with Al-Rasul. Pray Al-Jama'ah with Al-Rasul. Go with Al-Rasul. Wherever Al-Rasul goes, he is with him. He gave this all up for the sake of wealth and for the sake of wealth only. And you and I know our love to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi should not be equated by any other love. I know some people, they would give all their lives to be with Prophet of Rasulullah, with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi for 1 second. No? Dua of Al-Imam Al-Mahdi, Dua Al-Nadba, you read Dua Al-Nadba. Wishful thoughts to be with Al-Imam or the Rasul. This man was with him night and day, he gave it up. And then he missed Salatul Jum'ah, turns around, the Rasulullah, where is Talaba? Oh, he's busy. And then Godly order came, revelation came. خُدْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهِ. The order for Al-Khums and Al-Zakat came from Allah. You go to the believers and take Sadaqah and Al-Khums and Al-Zakat to purify them. The purpose of Al-Khums, the purpose of Al-Zakat is not to benefit Allah, it's to benefit you. Why is it called Zakat? What's the definition of Zakat in the Arabic language? Two meanings. Zakka yuzakki. First meaning is to purify. You purify the man, the money. You purify yourself. You purify your life, your house, your property, your earning. The second meaning, zakka yuzakki aynama, to increase the amount by investing with Allah and will come back to you. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi took two people, prepared them. It's like their responsibility is to collect as zakat, and they went to collect the money. All the believers, they gave them al-khums and the livestock, the best of the goats, and whatsoever you are ready. And when they came to Thalaba, what happened? I want you to think about this. Thalaba, salamu alaykum, Rasulullah, he says salam to you, and he wants to collect a zakat on the livestock. So what is this? What do you mean, zakat? I don't see anything. I don't understand. You know what? Why don't you be frank with me? This is nothing but khuwa, dariba. You know what that means? Yani, you are imposing on me to take my property, to take what's mine. In hiya illa al-jizya, penalty. Why don't you guys go and go to the other oases and the other tribes, see what you can collect, and in the way, coming back, pass by, maybe I'll do something for you. Isn't that the answer of the people today when you ask them to donate something? Don't you got this answer? Don't worry, send me the address, send me the bank account, and I'll see what I can do for you. If he can, huwa ma'zoor, justified among Allah. If he can, and he's not paying his homes, what excuse does he have? And then they came back and he was not there. And he was not ready. They came back to Al-Medina, they delivered what they had gathered. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi says, what happened to Thalaba? They told him, well, the story is he didn't pay, he didn't give us anything. Swift answer came from the sky. You cannot make a joke with Allah. You can't make a joke about Islam. Islam is a serious religion. You cannot cheat Allah with His heaven. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَشُّ فِي جَنَّتِهِ. Al-Imam Hussein alayhi salam, in the situation that he lived, he knew it's a big test. He knew it's a heavy price, but for the sake of Allah, his sincerity to Allah made everything in front of him look easy. So Al-Ayah came and denounced Thalaba until Yawm al-Qiyamah. And you read it in the Quran. If Allah give us out of His Fadl, we will give. لَنَصَّدِّقَنَّ وَلَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الشَّاكِرِينَ فَلَمَّا أَتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ بَخِلُوا بِهِ بَخِلُوا. When Allah gives them and gave them the wealth and answered their dua and supported what they need, they become miser. They close their hand. They neglected the promise they made to Allah. فَأَعْقَبَهُمْ نِفَاقًا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ. As a consequence, النفاق will enter to the heart. وَاللَّعْنَ, Allah's curse. From now until يَوْمَ يُبْعَثُونَ, until يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. When he heard about Al-Ayah, he came running with his livestock and he came to Al-Rasul and he started throwing the sand on his head and he said, please, please take as much as you want, take. You know what Al-Rasul said to him? إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَنَعَنِي أَنْ أَخُذَ مِنْ مَنْ. Allah prohibited me from taking anything from you. Even when he came back, he did not come back repentantly. He just came back because he doesn't want to hear bad reputation about him from the society. And his zakat or khums were not accepted from any khalifa afterward, because he lived afterward. I urge you and I urge myself, when Allah improve your economic status, do not be like those people who fool themselves and a shaitan comes to their minds, look man, God has nothing to do with it. Man, you are the one who worked. You are the one who gathered the money. You are the one who traded. Man got nothing to do with it. God got nothing to do with it. A shaitan will come to you like that. As if God did not give you the mind and the tools and the hands and the mouth and the eyes. Everything that you have, everything that you have is unlimited ataq from Allah. Without Allah, we are nothing. When Allah tells you, pay attention to your needy one, because Allah loves those who pay attention to the needy one. I ask you and I urge you and I urge myself, know what the concept of Al-Khums is and apply it in your life. مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ حُمِّلُوا التَّوْرَاةَ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَحْمِلُوهَا كَمَثَلِ الْحِمَارِ يَحْمِلُ أَسْفَارًا. The example of those whom they were giving a Tawrat from Allah and they did not carry it, they did not understand it, they did not read it, are the examples of the donkey carrying books on his back. You know, the donkey carries books volume upon volume. What does it do to it? There are some nations like that. We should not be like that. You want to be a mu'min, you want to perform a salat. Almost every ayah in Al-Quran says, الَّذِينَ أَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةِ وَوَتْ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةِ وَاوُ الْمَعِيَّةِ or وَاوُ الْعَطْفِ, you name it, وَاوُ الْمَعِيَّةِ means the waw is this act with this act. If you perform this act and you do not perform this act will not be accepted. A lot of people do not know this. A lot of people, they are 60, 80, 90, made enormous wealth and they do not know what Al-Khums is. Educate yourself and know what Al-Khums and pay your funds. مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. The example of those who spend their money in the way of Allah, for the sake of Allah, كَمَثَلِ حَبَّةٍ أَنْبَتَتْ سَبْعُ سَنَابِلٍ. The example of one seed produced seven bushels. فِي كُلِّ سُنْبُلَةٍ مَاءَةُ حَبَّةٍ. In every single bushel there are 100 seeds. وَاللَّهُ, and Allah will multiply more to whoever he pleases. The best investment that you could make. The best investment that you could make with Allah when you give al-khums in al-dunya and in al-akhirah. You will multiply your thawab in al-akhirah. It will come back to you abundantly in al-dunya. It will let the bad bala go away from you. It will give you health to you, to your wife, to your children, to your community. إِنَّ الصَّدَقَ تَدْفَعُ الْبَلَاء. Charitable contribution pushes calamities away. No? Taking that into consideration, always understand that Islam is one package deal. Don't be like those misguided, misinformed sisters and brothers when they stand before me and say, look man, I do believe in a salat, but I don't believe in a zakat. I do believe I should pray to Allah. Why should I pray to Allah 5 times a day? Twice is enough. There are people who are like that. You cannot worship Allah on your own. You need to worship Allah in the form that Allah instructed you to. If you want to worship Allah on your own, then you are worshiping your desire. And there is no difference between this person and ash-shaytan. Why? Ash-shaytan was a good abid. When Allah asked him to prostrate for Adam, he says, no, I'm not going to do it. Al-ibadah is to be obedient to who? To Allah. If Allah tells me sleep, I will sleep. If Allah tells me wake up, I will wake up. When I know Allah is telling me, I should obey Him. Al-ibadah is to obey. Al-ibadah is not to argue.
Nara-e takbir.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar.
And if you want to question every single thing Allah 100% for sure tell you, you are emptying the concept of worship from its concept. And Allah told Ash-Shaytan, what made you not following my orders or my instructions? He says, oh, I don't know, he's not better than me. Arrogance, discrimination. You have created him from clay and you created me from fire and I shouldn't prostrate to him. I am better than him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after he heard what Ash-Shaytan said, he says, Ya Allah, if you relieve me from as-sujud to Adam, if you relieve me from as-sujud to Adam, I will worship you in a way no creature can ever worship you. And Allah says, I don't need you worship. And I want you to worship me from where I tell you, not from where you want. Al-hijab is a must in Islam. As-salat is a must in Islam. Truthfulness is a must in Islam. Lying is haram in Islam. Al-zakat is a must in Islam. As-sawm is a must in Islam. Al-hajj ila baytillah, when you can, once in your lifetime, it's a wajib in Islam. Believing that al-mi'ad is a wajib in Islam. And do not be like those people whom Allah threatened. There is an ayah in the Quran that gives me the goosebumps. Incredible threat to those believers, not to the non-believers. أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْآيَةِ. You believe in some of the instruction in the book and you disbelieve in the others. Allah is blaming those people who are doing this. And whoever is doing so, what is the jaza whoever doing so? خِزْيٌ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Humility in this life. Humiliation. خِزْي. وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يُرَدُّ إِلَىٰ أَشَدِّ الْعَذَابِ. Islam is a one package deal. You cannot come to this center and claim that you love al-Imam and you are defending him if you are there. And in the meantime, you are committing a dhulm against your loved one. It doesn't make sense. It does not make sense that you say to Aba Abdullah, I wish I was with you there While here, you are with Yazid. Doesn't it happen? If Allah tests you, if Allah gives you an opportunity to be in a responsible position, fear Him. Don't change your iman. There are certain believers, Allah, out of His mercy, does not make them rich because He would lose them. And there are certain people, Allah will make them rich because He will gain them. And Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam said,
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali
Muhammad. Dunya and ad-deen might not come together. They're always contradict, but Allah might make it together for some people. For some people. Be that kind of people. When you are poor, you say, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah al-ali al-azim. And you have patience and you do your best to improve your condition. When you are rich, say Alhamdulillah wa shukrulillah. And remember Al-Quran, Daraballahu mathalan qaryatan qarya. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving an example about a village. Amina, secure, mutma'inna, good life. Al-Rizq will come every day and every night from every place. And then the people of this area did not thank Allah. فَكَفَرَتْ بِأَنْعُمِ اللَّهِ. And ni'mah was not appreciated. What I meant to say is not to appreciate the things that you have, to appreciate the being who gave it to you. Always remember Allah and thank you. And Allah tells us, فَأَذَاقَهَا اللَّهُ شُوْ طَعْمُوَا. Change the na'am. This qarya, these people then, they were testing, hunger, economic strife. They did not protect the na'am and did not ask Allah to thank Him for it. And Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam was ni'matullahi fi ibadi. How many of you would wish that he would see one Imam? And Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam during that time was the best and the most efficient guide to Allah living at that time. It was a very sad situation why al-Rasul passed away, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fatima, soon after that, followed him, salamullahi alayhi. Soon after that, Imam Ali alayhi salam was martyred. Soon after that, Imam Hassan alayhi salam was assassinated and martyred. The only person remained from Ahlul Kisa, from the fifth person of Ahlul Kisa, was Imam Hussain, the last star. And then all the believers flocked to him. And all those people who have taqwa stuck to him. And they gathered around him. And this ummah, instead of appreciating this ni'mah, imamun mutahharun ma'soom, min Allah, to guide them, they conspired against him. And they surrounded him. And they put him in a tough position. And they gave him two choices and two choices only. Either you give al-bay'ah to al-zalim, or you die. This is the bala of Imam Hussain that he had. Kafaru, kufr al-ni'mah. You've got a man like Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, would sit in the mosque 20 something years later after his beloved Prophet passes away, and he would weep and cry intensely. And then his servant will look at him and he says, why are you crying, Ya Abu al-Hasan? He looked back and he says, look at this mosque, how empty it is. During al-Rasul, it was full. During the presence of my beloved brother, Rasulullah, it was full. And he would hit his hand on his chest. Here, ahin, ahin, here, plenty of knowledge. I don't see anybody to carry. Woe to the ummah who never appreciates such a man.
And now you would wonder, how could a man like Al-Imam, one or two, repented and came to the army of Al-Imam Hussein? You ever wonder why? Al-Imam Hussein was a very articulate man, much better than me and you. He knew Al-Quran, he knew Al-Sharia, he knew Al-Halal, he knew Al-Haram, he knew the attributes of Allah. Read Dua al-Imam al-Husayn yawm Arafah, read it. Read al-Ad'iyah and you see how articulate he is. Don't you ask that question. How can an articulate Imam like this, with all the executions he gave, with all the case that he pled with those people, he cried, even he cried. They told him, why are you crying? He said, I'm crying because all these people will go to hell because of me. Pled with them. Don't you know who I am? Am I not the son of Rasulullah? Am I not the son of Fatima? Am I not the son of Imam Ali? Am I not the subject of this ayah and this ayah and this ayah? Is there anyone on earth who claim that he's the fifth of Ahlul Kisa except me? They would know, but they won't change their mind. Why? Because they lived on al-haram. They ate al-haram. They committed al-haram. They grew on al-haram. They reared their children on al-haram. They refused al-halal and they refused the truth.
Muhammad wa ali Muhammad salawat.
Allahumma salli ala
Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Do not underestimate the small little command that Allah gives you. And do not underestimate any haram that Allah tells you. And do not underestimate any halal that Allah commands you to do it. When he tells you, don't eat al-haram, don't eat al-haram. Because if you eat al-haram, and you live on al-haram, and you drink al-haram, then your system will not be able to accept the truth. And your heart will be hard like a rock. As hard as these hearts were during Karbala. To the point, Habib ibn Mazahir said to him, let me give them another speech. He said, don't waste your time. Khatam Allahu ala qulub. When there is a khatam, when the heart will be sealed, it's a lost case. Do not allow yourself to approach al-haram. It does not make sense for a smart man or a woman to burn her hand or his hand with fire to believe fire will burn. This is called stupidity. Right? Do not allow yourself to approach al-haram. Do not teach your children al-haram. Do not lie in front of your children. Do not conspire in front of your children. Do not deceive anyone in front of your children because you are spreading facade on earth without you knowing. And if you make a mistake alone between you and Allah, you go at night and you ask Allah for forgiveness and Allah will forgive you. And if you make a ma'siyah between you and Allah, Allah will forgive you. But if you have made a social ma'siyah where people have seen you and were affected by your behavior, when you tell your wife, take your hijab, otherwise I will divorce you. Drink, otherwise I will beat you. When you don't pay your attention to your kids, where do they go? Whom do they talk to? What do they see? And after years you wake up and it's too late because the damage was done. What are you going to do to Allah? What are you going to say in front of Allah? What are you saying? You and I know, we are sitting at home today. We don't see anyone. We don't go talk to anyone. The TV is in our home. The internet is in our home. The ads, the movies, the songs, the lyrics, every kind of facade, you name it, around us. If we do not support and protect our soul with tazkiyatun nafs, with dhikrullah, with fear of Allah, with refraining from al-haram and enjoying the good, we will definitely fail. Build the Islamic character in you and in your family, in your husband, in your sister, in your brother, in your son. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wal asr. Innal insana lafi khusr. Wow. Wow al qasam. You know, Allah in Al-Quran, he uses a style
amazing style. Allah the independent, Allah the perfect, Allah the all-seeing, all-knowing, the first without a beginning, the last without an end, does not need us. But he pleads his case with us as if that he needs us. He pleads his case. Ya human, come. Don't go. I made you. I created you. I loved you. I am merciful to you. I will help you. I will back you. Just come to me. No. No? You read dua al-iftitah. You read dua al-iftitah to an Imam al-Mahdi in Shah Ramadan. You remember what the statement said? كلما تدعوني ولي هانك. Every time you ask me to come, I run away from you. كأن لك التطوع, كأن لي التطوع, as if that man is doing God a favor. Well, الرسول صلى الله عليه وآله told him, tell them, ولا تمنوا علي إسلامكم. Do not think that you are doing God a great favor if you become Muslim or believers. Allah is doing a great favor for you. Allah is doing a great favor for you. Wal asr, Allah takes an oath by the course of time, zaman. If you notice Al Quran, there's a lot of ayat that start Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, wash-shamsi wa duhaha wa wal qasam. Allah is taking an oath and swearing by the sun and by the dawn. والفجر وليال عشر فلا أقسم بيوم القيامة قسم. Allah is telling us, I am swearing to you, I am serious, listen. Allah himself in سورة الواقعة, رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله says, شيبتني سورة الواقعة. سورة الواقعة in the Quran made my hair white. Why? فلا أقسم بمواقع النجوم وإنه لقسم لو تعلمون عظيم. Mighty قسم, mighty oath. Allah tells us certain facts after he swear. In this surah, والعصر, I swear to you by the course of time, by the passage of the year and the centuries, whether it is in millions or in thousands. It's a sign of a miracle in the motion of the planets. What? What would Allah is swearing to what? That a human is in total loss. Human is a loser. We'll lose. We'll at the end lose. Everyone would lose except with an exception. Inna al-insana lafi khusr. Definitely he will lose. إِلَّا exception, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, those who believe, وَعَمِلُوا صَالِحًا, وَعَمِلُوا, do the good deeds, أَمَرُوا بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, do the good deeds, وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ. They are on the straight path, they urge each other to be on the straight path. You are, I remember one of the caravans were going to Al-Hajj, were going to Al-Ziyara. And there is this officer, supposedly Mutadayin, he stood up there in the military checkpoint. And he goes, you pay me $600, I will let this caravan go. And the sheikh says, this is haram, brother. These people are going to visit Al-Amak al-Muqaddas, and you're actually haram. He says, well, haram, halal, I'm doing you a favor. If you don't want to go, you will stay here. Then Al-Mu'arrif, the guy who was running the show, he started collecting money to pay. Then Al-Sheikh refused. وَتَوَاصَوْا with what? بِالْحَقِّ. When I see you doing something that is not right, that is haram, it is haram for me to be silent. And if you mean something to me, and if I care about you, compassionately I need to come to help you. What are you doing? What are you doing? Why you are working in a liquor store? Look, man, I don't have money. Help. Don't give anybody any excuse to move from the dignity of being obedient to Allah to the humiliation of being disobedient to Him. As a community, we need to help each other. وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ. They always urge themselves on the right path,
doing the right thing. وَتَوَاسَوْ بِالصَّبْرِ. They also urge themselves to be what? Patient. And some of the brothers and the sisters today, they are using lame, insignificant excuses to stay away from their obligations. I will read this hadith with you. Inna Allah akhfa, three things. Allah hid three things. Inna Allah hid His rida and His pleasure in His obedience. Do not underestimate any simple obedience. You might find rida Allah in it. Could be small little thing. It could be moving something that could be harmful to anybody on the side. Allah may be pleased with you until Yawmul Qiyamah for this little thing. Removing the harm from the road in front of your brothers and sisters. Inna Allah akhfa ghadabahu fi ma'siyatih. Allah has hidden His wrath and His anger and His disobedience. Do not underestimate any small little sinful act. Maybe Allah is ghadab, isn't it? And do not say this is a small sin. Look at the mighty of the God that you are committing the sin against.
Allah.
And the third thing is the most important, and this is a disease in a lot of communities. إِنَّ اللَّهَ أَخْفَى أَوْلِيَاءَهُ فِي عِبَادِهِ. أولياء الله are hidden among the people. Do not underestimate any brother or any sister because they are not like you. They don't drive the car that you drive. They don't have the house that you have. They don't wear the clothes that you wear. They don't take the vacations that you take. They don't buy and they cannot afford to buy the goodies that you do. Do not underestimate them. Do not underestimate your brother. If he does not have the same job that you do, and if he does not have the same ability that you do, he doesn't look like you, he doesn't act like you, he doesn't do the things that you do, do not underestimate him. He could be waliyyun min awliya Allah, hidden among you. And if you hurt him or if you hurt her, أَذَنْتَ بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ آذَى وَلِيِّي فَقَدْ أَذَانِي. Al-mu'min and al-mu'mina always on alert. You are not to discriminate against anyone, Muslim or non-Muslim. How about a mu'min or a mu'min? يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us in the Quran, لا يسخر قوم من قوم. No group should make fun of another group. No family should make fun of another family. No clan should ridicule any other clan. ولا نساء من نساء. And no woman should ridicule another woman or make fun of another woman. Why? There may be better than to them, they may be better than them with the eyes blocked. Shufu, tell you a small little story. This guy worship Allah night and day. He's a great alim. And then Allah gave him a lot of secrets until one day he was able to change brass into gold, some spiritual work. He says, Ya Allah, I want you to give me the secret of changing brass into gold. He did the work, he did the dhikr, and then he brought the piece of the brass. This is one of our great ulama, by the way. It is a well-known story. He was able to change the brass into gold, and he says, okay, Ya Allah, I need to go find a poor one to give him. I need to go find a poor Muslim to give him the gold. Because as an alim, I cannot sleep with the gold in my room. I am a great alim, I am a abid, and Allah asked me not to gather the gold in my room. I'm looking for a mu'min, poor one. He went to the market, he started looking for a poor mu'min. After 2 or 3 days of searching, he found a poor guy.
He says, excuse me, can I talk to you for a second? Can you come to my house? There's something I need to discuss with you. He says, yes. He goes there and composure, the vicar. He says, look, take this piece of gold. I don't feel ease about keeping it here. I'm giving it to you as a sadaqah. And the poor man says, I don't need your gold. He said, look, man, please take it. I don't need it. I'm not going to take it. Look, I'm a alim. I'm a marja. You deserve it. You have bara'ah, the dhimma, if you sell it and take the money and spend it on your family. Looks at him, he says, I told you I don't need it. Then al-alim, realizing the grave situation that he is in, and he does not want to reveal his secret to everyone, he starts weeping and crying. He starts shaking. And the poor man told him, what's wrong with you? He says, look, man, I ask Allah to get the secret, to change brass to gold. And then he helped me, and I looked for you, and I thought that you, a miskeen, to deserve the sadaqah. This is why I brought you, I'm going to give it to you, and now you are refusing it. I do not want to keep this piece of gold in my own house. So since Allah gave you the secret to changing brass to gold, why don't you ask Allah to change it back from gold to brass? Because I did not reach that spiritual level. It's going to take me years of work. He said, don't worry, I will change. He says, you can change it? He says, yes. Stand behind me. Puts his hand on the ground. Reads certain ayah. Then it goes back to brass.
Do not think highly of yourself in comparison with the others. If you are older than your friend or your brother, think that you beat him with adhunub. And he did not acquire as much sinful act as you. And if you are younger, treat him as if that he beat you to the good deeds by miles, and you need to catch up and reach. And there's one thing I want to teach yourself and teach myself together, how to deal with each other. Everybody in life knows that life is structured. There is number one, number two, number three. There is a leader and a follower. There is a teacher and a student. Life is that way. You cannot claim that you know everything. Be afraid of the person who claims that he knows everything. وَفَوْقَ كُلِّ عِلْمٍ وَفَوْقَ كُلِّ ذِي عِلْمٍ عَلِيمٍ. Everybody who has knowledge, there is somebody who has knowledge more than him. Okay? Yeah. Now, I go to the centers across the United States and I found out that there is a repetitive pattern of behavior in every center. Problems, split, divisions. If you examine the situation, it goes all to the nafs and ignorance and the lack of the Islamic akhlaq. Why? You put a alim to lead a center with due respect to our ulama, I'm a student of them. But Allah spoke about the good ulama, and Allah spoke about the not so good ulama. Okay? Some people go study 5, 6 years, 7 years, for example. They come with amama, and somebody else was studying for 30 years or 50 years. They come, both of them together here. You don't know who is who. There's no way to know. The humble alim says to the first one, please go, you lead the player. And the man says, no, you lead the player. There is a sense of natural selection in our hawzat where there is no classification academically like in the university. You study 4 years, you get the BS, we know that you are a BS student. And you study the master's degree, then you have the master's degree. And you become a PhD, and the hawza is not like that. And you've got some people, when they come to run a center, they forget to be like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi in the conduct. They come and say, Ana Rabbukum al-A'la. You need to follow what I tell you. Was Rasulullah like that? Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Ya Ammi, Rasulullah was ma'soom, was a prophet, was a Nabi, and Allah told him and taught him. He says, consult with them. Here's an ayah. Washawirhum fil amr. Consult with them. وَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ تتوكل. After consultation, you pick up the most practical opinion and you adopt it. On the other hand, the gentleman who is working, whether he's on the board or whether he's responsible or whether he is entrusted with some responsibility, he has a certain vision. He wants to apply it. He has difficulty. If nobody listens to him, Allahu Akbar. أنا ومن بعد الطوفان. I don't want to show up. I don't want to participate. I don't want to come. No, it's not what you do. It's not what it's all about. When the board adapts the situation and al-alim approves it, even if you are against it, stick to it. You might be right, or you might be wrong. Only time will tell. Through trial and error, we will learn. And Allah called his beloved prophet. What did he say to him? وَخْفِ جَنَاحَكَ. Look at this wonderful ayah. وَلَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ وَاسْمُ الْحَسَنَ. Ya Muhammad, in dealing with your followers, in dealing with al-mu'mineen, in dealing with your brothers, lower your wings to them. وَخْفِ جَنَاحَكَ لِمَنِ اتَّبَعَكَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. يعني lower your wings. يعني don't treat them as if they are your subjects. You are above them. Be humble with them. وَلَئِن كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّ مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. Allah told him, if you are not going to be patient with them, if you are not going to have compassion with them, if you are not going to be understanding to their needs, be patient with their mistakes, revolt against them, order them, yell at them, admonish them, what they will do? لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. They will scatter away from you. They will scatter away. And al-alim, when he wants to run a center, he needs to be patient. Because we are ignorant, we need an alim to teach us. If al-alim cannot teach us patience, who will teach us? إِذَا كَانَ رَبُّ الْبَيْتِ بِالطَّبْلِ ضَارِبٌ. And we go on the other hand to the believers. Al-alim has knowledge you don't have. If you have a theory, do not impose it. Do not impose your will. Even if you're right and the people tell you this is not the right time for it, or for one reason or another, unjustly rejected, don't give up. Don't turn your back on your center, on your community, and walk away. Even if they make a mistake with you, they yell at your children, they made a mistake, this center is your responsibility. This community is your responsibility. كُلُّكُمْ رَاعٍ وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسْئُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَّةِ. And it's not fair that only 2-3 people will do the enormous work while the rest of the population is having good time. We need to delegate responsibility. It is not fair that 3-4 people, I'm not talking about this community, I see it in a lot of communities. With due respect, 2-3 people would work around the clock and others, they don't want to take care of any responsibilities. It's not like that. We learn from our a'immah to carry the responsibility, to be responsible for our action, for our family. Al-Imam al-Rida alayhi salam, when he wants to eat, when he wants to eat, he used to sit with all the group, the people who are working in his house, even the servants. And the servants is eating, and then he says, oh, you such and such person, what do you think about this problem that I have? How can we solve it? And this companion that came from a long distance, he said, you are an imam and a ma'soom, you consult a servant. Right? Allah gave you Usman, you consult the servant. He looked at him. He says, Allah asked us to do so and to consult. Maybe Allah will open on his mouth the wisdom that we don't have. He's saying that not about himself, but to teach us. To teach us. When a man and a woman conversing about a family affair, and the woman has some concern, and the man gets up, you shut up, you don't know anything, let me handle it. Ya Rijal, please my help, don't listen. I don't want to listen to you. Point is closed. Don't argue with me. This is how it's going to be done. Then, a few days later,
The woman was right.
It's the most shameful situation a man can say. He does not pay right. No, I'm the man. I am the man. It doesn't work like that. It does not work like that. You know, sometimes the children, they say things you might not able to grasp. We know that Al-Hulli, when he used to admonish his child for being a naughty boy, when he follows him to admonish him, and the son would read Ayatul Sajda. He immediately read Ayatul Sajda, and Al-Hulli would do a sujood and he'll leave the son. Never look at your son or daughter when they become teenage as if that they are creatures who lack understanding. Converse. Open the channel of communication. Talk. Find out what's on their mind. Be nice and kind to your family, especially the teenage daughters. Acknowledge their femininity. Give them the compassion they need. Tell them the sweet words they need to hear. Because if you are harsh with them, the first moment they go out, they see Jack or Smith with one nice word, they will run to. There's a lot of kids like that because Al-Qulub loves the tongue that speak kind things about it. Jubilat Al-Qulub ala hubb man ahsana ilayha. Do al-ihsan to your family so your family loves you. Do al-ihsan to your wife so your wife can cherish you. Do al-ihsan to your husband so your husband can appreciate you. There's one brother, I saw him in the mosque for almost 28 days after work until 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, and then we used to shop and then he's sleeping there. I said, man, don't you have a house to go to? I said, I don't like going to my house. He said, why? I said, you know, there is Jankis Khan in my house. My wife is making my life a living hell. He's staying in the mosque. I go talk to the sister. The moment I say, Salaamu Alaikum, how are you? Are you the imam of this mosque? Yeah. You know, this... I hang up. And I called after a while. I said, calm down. And then after we studied the issue, we found out that
no issue.
It's just meaningless. If you have a concern, if you have a concern in your community, if you have a concern in your family, if you have a concern with your kids, remember al-ayah. وَادْعُوا إِلَى سَبِيلِ رَبِّكَ بِالْحِكْمَةِ وَالْمَوْعِظَ الْحَسَنَةِ. This is what Allah is asking. This is what Allah says. Call for Allah's way with wisdom and kindness. Kindness. اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنَ. Choose the best way to approach the situation. Choose the best methodology to argue when you have an argument with someone. In the best way. Why? As if that the person who is your enemy, talk to him as if he's your best friend.
Subhanallah.
كَأَنَّ الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. That's what the Quran said. And the Rasul was like that. And Fatima was like that. And Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam was like that. Al-Hasan was that. Al-Husayn was like that. Al-Imam al-Sadiq was, you know, Al-Imam al-Sadiq is an amazing Imam. In his time, there were open fusuq, fasiqin, fasaqa, fajr. They drink, they make fun of Islam, they make fun of the deen. One guy, one of those people, he comes to the student of Al-Imam al-Sadiq and he says, okay, come, convince me why you guys go make a flock like animals around the wall. And then you run between two mountains like a crazy herd. And then you hit stones on imaginary things. And the guy told him, May Allah do this to you, and may Allah do this to you. Ya kafir, ya fasiq, ya fasiq. He took his shoes, he went to it. And Al-Fasiq told him, look, you are the student of Al-Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam? He says, yes. He said, no, you're not a good student. He said, I was with your master last week, and I respected him because of his composure. I thought, and he listened, and he responded. Do not act foolishly when you are a man of faith. Do not act illogically when you are a woman of faith. Always remember, al-mu'min has a great quality. What is his quality? His mind and his brain in front of his mouth. Al-ahmaq, the stupid, and the ignorant, his mouth is ahead of his brain. Al-mu'min always weigh what he says. And he has composure. وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. Under these circumstances, and under these situations that I just talked about, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for you and me to give us الأخلاق النبوية والأخلاق العلوية والشجاعة الحسينية والصبر الحسن وعلم الصابر وتقوى الباقر ودعاء زين العابدين وزكاء محمد الجواد وصبر الكاظم. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وبارك على محمد وآل محمد وسلم على محمد وآل محمد وترحم على محمد وآل محمد كما صليت وباركت وسلمت وتحننت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم أن يسألك بجلال وجهك وأعز وأحسن أسمائك وأقدس صفاتك. اللهم إني أسألك بدم الشهيد المظلوم في كربلاء يا الله المؤسسون لهذا المسجد يا الله إلا غفرت لهم مغفرة عظمى لا تغادر ذنبا. ربنا لا تدع لنا في مقامنا هذا ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا هما إلا فرجته ولا مريضا إلا شفيته ولا غائبا إلا أحضرته وأمنيته ولا أسيرا إلا أطلقته ولا دينا إلا قضيته ولا حاجة من حوائج الدنيا والآخرة لك فيها رضا ولنا فيها صلاة إلا قضيتها ويسرتها يا أرحم الراحمين. صلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين. My dear brothers, bear with me 5 more minutes to tell briefly the story of وقعة الجمل. To answer the brother. But the Battle of Al-Jamal took place between Al-Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib and his army and the group of people who were disobedient to him, and they had used the position of Umm al-Mu'mineen Aisha, and they had used her position as a wife for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. And they asked, and she asked them to take revenge for the killing of Uthman. They wanted to make Al-Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib responsible for the killing of Uthman, and Uthman was Al-Khalifa Thalith. And after the Muslims gave Al-Bay'ah to Al-Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, two of those people, they have acted against this promise, and they have neglected the covenant. One of them is Talha, and the other one is Zubayr. And they went to Aisha, and Aisha supported them. And unfortunately, at that time, Aisha was not on good terms with Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib. And Al-Imam was patient with her and he respected her. So, they killed the people who were working there, and they have tortured Al-Wali, and they have committed some heinous crime. Al-Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam tried to converse with them, and he sent them
Abdullah ibn Abbas, and he sent them good articulate people in order to persuade them to commit to a tawbah and to come back from this unacceptable act. And he showed them that this is a maqsiyah when they want to revolt against a khalifa, and this is a fasad, and this is a haram, and they refused. And the tribes of Arabia, when they knew that Umm al-Mu'mineen Aisha was leading the battle, riding the camel, they also gathered in great numbers in order to fight al-Imam, and the battle took place, and al-Imam won, and al-Jamal was broken, and Aisha was captured and released with great deal of respect by al-Imam Ali, and she was sent back to al-Madinah with her brother Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr, who was a great companion of al-Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. This event, Rasulullah talked about it before he passed away. He promised al-Imam, and he told him, you will fight three group of people, al-Mariqin, wal-Nakithin, wal-Qasithin, and he warned Umm al-Mu'mineen Aisha particularly about this event. Sahih al-Sitta, it is mentioned there. But this event, it happened in history. We need to address the issues that we are facing us today. We need to learn from history that being close to Rasulullah by race, if you are not a mu'min, it does not mean anything. إِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ لَا يَدْخُلُهَا الْمُؤْمِنُ وَلَوْ كَانَ عَبْدًا حَبَشِيًّا وَإِنَّ جَهَنَّمَ لَا يَدْخُلُهَا الْكَافِرُ وَلَوْ كَانَ سَيِّدًا فَرَشِيًّا. Jahannam will be entered by a kafir even if he was a sayyid, and al-Jannah would be entered by a mu'min even if he was a slave and he was liberated. There is no difference between Jami or Arabi except al-Taqwa. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته والفاتحة إلى أمة الجميع.